If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Matthew this morning. And we're going to kind of camp out in this area. We started a new series, and it's titled, What Gift Will You Give to the King? And last week we talked about Mary. Does anyone remember Mary's gift last week? It started with a T. Trust. Thank you for whoever said that. Trust. That was her gift. And we talked about how that, you know, we kind of romanticize Bible stories sometimes, right? And we make them all wonderful and cheery, but the reality was she was set to lose a lot at that point of her life when she said yes to the angel. But we saw that her trust in the Lord affected her son, because we saw in the garden that he almost said the same words as Mary, right? Let it be as you say. That's what Jesus said, not my will, but yours. So we saw how when you are trusting the Lord, it doesn't just affect you, it affects the people around you. Amen? And today we're going to look at Joseph. And I think Joseph a lot of times doesn't, he's not like the main character you think about when you think of the Christmas story, right? But after this, you're going to think differently about Joseph. Amen? So if you have a pen and paper, or if you are okay with writing in your Bible, which there's nothing wrong with that, you should write notes in your Bible when it's anointed. Amen? And I want you to watch this. So we're going to start, trying to keep the time frame here. Okay, so I'm just going to do a synopsis, and then we'll go back and I'll tell you the exact verses. But this is a story where Mary is betrothed to Joseph, and he finds out that she's with child. And he is a just man. That means he is a good man. And he doesn't want to openly expose her to ridicule. So it says he was going to quietly divorce her. Now, we don't understand that, because in our frame of mind, they weren't married. They were betrothed. But in those days, when you were betrothed, you might as well have been married. Amen? And so it was a certificate was signed. This was a big contract between families that was happening. So Joseph was going to secretly, quietly do this off to the side, not make a public deal of it. But it says that he had a dream. And in that dream, an angel came to him and said, don't be afraid. Say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And we see the very next verse, it says that he was awakened and he went and did. And this is an amazing thing that I've noticed about Joseph. Joseph doesn't sit there and have a debate with an angel. He doesn't sit there after the angel's gone, after the dream's gone, and go, did I really see that? No, I don't think so. Well, maybe I did. Could I have? I don't know. Well, should I go? Should I not go? We don't see any of that. In fact, it says he arose and went. Amen? So the first verse I want you to look at is in verse 20. And it says, but while he thought about these things, about secretly putting her, divorcing her, and ending the contract, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I want you to put a C there next to that verse, a little C. This was a command from the Lord to Joseph, okay? And then I want you to skip down into verse 24, and it says, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him Mary, his wife. And I want you to put an O there. So there was a command, and then there was obedience. And this is the gift that Joseph brought, was the gift of obedience. So Mary's was trust, but Joseph's was obedience. And we see this happens not one, not two, not three, but four times in this Christmas story. Are you ready for the next one? Now they've gone to Bethlehem, they've had Jesus, and they're staying in Bethlehem. Time out, just for a second. Not only is he an obedient man, but he's an amazing man, okay? We know from history that he is a carpenter, okay? I love this picture because he actually looks like a man who works. Have you noticed how feminine they make him look? And I'm thinking, how is he a carpenter, right? Carpenters had to work with their arms. I love this one. In fact, this site I got it off, it was from an older lady was telling about the story in her words, and she said, I love the fact that Joseph actually looks rough and tough. You know, I love that. Because he was a carpenter. He was working for a living. Amen? But how many times did this man have to leave stability? How many times did this man have to leave a job? How many times does this man have to leave a home and follow in obedience to what the Lord told him? That's phenomenal. Okay, I don't know about Mary, but I got to say the Lord picked a good man for Mary. Amen? A man that she could put her trust in and know that he would lead and guide their family. Hallelujah. Nothing is by chance. God doesn't leave things by chance. He didn't just go, you, Joseph. No, this is ordained. This was orchestrated, right? But did Joseph know that? No. He gets an angel visiting him in a dream, and he says, I've chosen you to be her husband. And Joseph said, yes, sir. Amen. All right, next part. So they're in Bethlehem, and we go through the story of when the wise men come, and then they don't return to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's after them. And in verse 13, it says, now when they, that's the wise men, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. Put a little C. That was a command. The angel brought a command, arise and go. And then in verse 14, you can put an O, because it says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. Did he wait? Did he question? Did he think about it? Did he wonder if he had the resources? Did he wonder if he had the way to get there? Did he question? No, he was obedient. Are you seeing what an amazing man this is? And we may say, oh, well, if he'd have, you know, left the next morning, he'd have been fine. Can I tell you something? I don't believe so. I believe Herod's guards were on site the next day. I don't believe he waited any longer to come and try to kill baby Jesus. But Joseph was an obedient man, and he went. Next, we're going to skip down into chapter, a little later on in chapter 2, verse 19. So they're in Egypt. And then in verse 19, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Put a C there. Arise, go to the land of Israel. Now listen to this. Then he arose in verse 21 and took the young child and his mother and came to the land of Israel. Put an O for obedient. This man is amazing. I mean, just stop and think about it. They're in these places for a length of time. We know that he was in Bethlehem till Jesus was about 2 or 3, right? So they've already established himself. He probably had jobs he was doing. He was settled, right? The angel says, arise, and he doesn't question. He gets up and he goes. Then he goes down to Egypt, and there's a time frame that they're down in Egypt, right? And they're settled. He's got another job. He's doing things. They're working. They're doing things in the community, right? They're settled. An angel comes, says, arise. What does he do? He arises and he goes. This is phenomenal. How many of us would be willing to make all these changes back to back to back to back to back and be obedient to the Lord without questioning? But we don't see questioning in Joseph. We see obedience. And then the last one in verse 22. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. So they're not afraid as in fearful, but there was a warning in his heart. And then being warned by God in another dream, amen, he turned aside to the region of Galilee. And we know this is where God was calling forth his son, was from Galilee. But each time we see this man walk in obedience. It's phenomenal to me when I look at this story. I'm just in awe that he was willing to do so much without knowing all that we know. He didn't truly know, other than the angel, that this child inside Mary was God's son. But he did know the ridicule that was going to happen because of all the people who knew him and Mary, and knew she was pregnant, and they weren't married yet. He knew the stigma that would be on their lives, and yet he chose to be obedient. In 1 Samuel 5:22, it says, obedience is better than anything that you could ever sacrifice. Why? Why? Well, when you look at the story where this came from, the story came from when Saul didn't wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. He did something a king was not supposed to do, and the Lord had not directed him to do, and he offered a sacrifice. He didn't obey, and his disobedience cost him. But Joseph obeyed, and his obedience blessed him. It blessed him. So what does that mean for us today? We need to be obedient. When God tells us to do something with our finances, we don't need to sit there and have a 45-minute conversation about the why nots and the I wonder and what about this. And No. When he tells you, you be obedient. But it doesn't make any sense. When I look at my checkbook, can I tell you something? It makes no sense to listen to a dream. It makes no sense to move yourself and your spouse 4 times. It makes no sense to get up in the middle of a night and flee when you don't see anybody chasing you. It makes no sense. No sense. Because it isn't about our sense. It's about our heart listening to the Holy Spirit inside of us and doing what God has told us to do. And God provides. God provides. We know that the wise men brought treasures that would beyond what we can fathom to Jesus. So the Lord blessed Joseph because of his obedience the first 2 times. He blessed him. The last few, he didn't have to worry about finances, although I'm sure he was still a diligent man and he still worked. But God provided because of his obedience. I can't tell you how many times the Pastor Steve and I have been moved on our hearts to give an offering, and it made no sense whatsoever. None. But when we give that gift, we saw God open the heavens and pour out a blessing we could not contain in our lives. So I can tell you, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this Christmas story. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to us, Father. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I thank you, Father, that you are so awesome. And that if we will listen to you, Father, when you speak to us, we don't have to have an angel visitation. We don't have to have an angel dream. We can just listen to the Holy Spirit inside of us and do what you've called us to do. Do what you've told us to do. And I pray, Father, as we move forward from today, I thank you, Father, as we pray every time this time of year, that there is more than enough in everyone's bank accounts, that we will not end this year in the red. The only red is going to be on the Christmas tree. We end in the black. We have more than enough, and to get into the next year blessing people as we go. But I pray, Father, you would help each one of us to be obedient, that when you say give, that we would not question, we would not wonder, we would simply give. Whether it's in a store, whether it's in a coffee shop, whether we're driving down the road and you put a friend's heart on or a friend on our heart or mind, or maybe it's an offering you want us to give, Father, whatever it is, help us to be obedient like Joseph. Let that be a gift that we bring, a gift of trust like Mary, and now obedience like Joseph. Whatever you tell us to do, we do it with all our heart as unto you. And we give you the praise in advance, Father, for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. Because as we're obedient, we will be in the right place at the right time with the right receivers. And we just praise you, Lord, today for your anointing on every gift that's sown. Father, we call in 100-fold harvest in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Woo!
Let's stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith over our giving. Just say, I believe I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, we send you out to the north, south, east, and west. Receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And use our giving, Father, to get the gospel preached around the world, that someone else could be saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Give God a big shout this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How about we do this? How about we give him, how about let's just do a faith laugh. Everybody go, ha, 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 ha. This makes you laugh laughing, doesn't it? Laughter does good like a medicine. Well, that's a fake laugh. No, it's a faith laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Go ahead. Ha, 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 ha. I was listening to Dr. Avery Jackson on the God prescription. He's a brain surgeon, certified brain surgeon in Detroit. Bishop Butler. No. Yeah. Yeah, Bishop Butler's church. And he said, every night before I go to bed, one of the things I do is have 10 belly laughs. That's a surgeon, all right? It's good for, somebody say it's good for my brain. It's good for my brain to laugh. It's good for my body, good for my soul, good for my spirit. Now, it doesn't mean you got to put on some crazy rated R movie that's fun. No, that ain't funny, right? Talking about laughing in the joy of the Lord that is your strength. And even when, even in the face of things that don't look funny, that's even more funny. Ha, 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 ha. Go ahead. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Right? See? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. The devil is really funny when you think about it. Trying, thinking he could take over the throne of God. Ha, 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 ha. Thinking he could kill you with some disease or ha, 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 ha. Thinking he could kill you in some accident. Ha, 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 ha. He's just a stupid devil, isn't he? Hallelujah. We rejoice in the God of our salvation. We can dismiss the kids, I think, and the youth today. Amen. We're going to get right into today's message because we got a party to get to. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God forevermore. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for this word that you have for us today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond and bellies that laugh. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. You know, and we are living in some very somber, serious times in world history. And Jesus was born right in the middle of very somber, serious, deadly, terrible, dark times, right? And that's why this time of the year is so special. You know, no matter what's going on in our life, turn the lights on. Somebody say, turn the light on. That's why we put up Christmas lights, Christmas tree decorations that are bright and cheery. Isn't it funny how we go for, so many do the Halloween thing where it's all about darkness. Some of them still have it, and I'm still going to celebrate the darkness. They'll put, you know, a Santa hat on the skeleton out front. Right? Somebody say, turn the light on. And that's what today's message is going to focus on in terms of Christ in you, means the light is in you. The light is in you. Somebody say, let him shine. Let him shine. Let him shine. Let him shine. Hallelujah. And last week's message that I thought was going to take today too, turned out we got through it all, but we focused on, and we just had the anointing service, and we talked about Christ, the anointed one, and we're receiving callings, healings, revelations, instructions, strategies, and territories from God. Isaiah 10, verse 27 says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Amen. And Jesus is the anointed one, right? Just shout the name. Just somebody say, Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God, right? And that I heard Creflo Dollar preach once based on this verse that therefore we can say the anointing of God is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Amen. Glory to his name forevermore. And God is so good. But today I really felt stirred to focus on light. Amen. And even next Sunday, at sundown, Hanukkah begins. Well, what's that got to do with Jesus? Everything. Somebody say everything. Amen. And John chapter 10, verse 22, the New Living Translation says this. And it was now winter, and Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the festival of dedication. Somebody say it's the festival of dedication. How many know there's no room for anti-Semitism in the body of Christ? The church is not the replacement of Israel. Amen. Now, Paul said our prayer for Israel is that they be saved. How many know, no matter who you are, you need Jesus to be your Messiah, Lord of your life, King of kings, Lord of lords, right? But Hanukkah, if you should do a little study this week on Hanukkah. We all have the ability to Google things now, right? Make sure it's not bogus stuff, right? But it also means the festival of light, right? Because there was a miracle where the oil in the lamp in the temple, a day's worth of oil lasted 8 days. It was another example of God delivering Israel from people that wanted to destroy Israel. You just do some research on your own there, right? But Jesus celebrated the festival of dedication. Somebody say, he is the light. Right? And I want to go through just a bunch of verses about light, and then God even added a few more this morning. So just bear with me, okay? But first of all, why do we need light? Well, Psalm 23, verse 4 says this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I love Brother Copeland said it this way once. He said, the shadow of a dog never bit anybody. So darkness tries to come in on us. Fear, worry, sins, medical report, whatever it is. Amen? Somebody say, turn the light on. That's the purpose of the light, right? Is to shine in the darkness. That's why Jesus was born in a dark time, in a dark place, with dark leadership. Have you noticed, even today, there is dark leadership around? Even though, praise God, I love Donald Trump, I love J.D. Vance, I love Mike John. Praise God for them! Hallelujah! Oh, man. When you hear just this past week how he dedicated the Christmas tree at the White House in the name of Jesus, and how Portland, just call it the tree. And then they get up on stage and start yelling, free Palestine, free Palestine. It's just nuts. Nuts. So praise God for Donald Trump and the people that voted people like that in. I mean, he's a human being. Lord knows that. But heart, man, what a heart. And we praise God for such leaders in our nation. And we continue to vote and pray for them. Why? Because they bring light to dark places. There, I heard about a church in North Carolina that had a service just like this. But the purpose of the service was to train the people how to protest ICE. Ha, 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 ha. That's exactly right. I had a bite to eat this past week with two Christian businessmen. Love God. One of them, and we were just talking business. That's the purpose, right? But one of them, we talked faith. They were both believers. I didn't know they both were, but they knew, and they knew that we had a church, and one of them was like, oh, Christians should just be, all this political stuff, Christians just need to be nice. Not just stay out of it. And the other, right? And the other one was like, oh, those ICE people, they're just out there with masks on and just doing, it's like you're listening to what the media is telling you about ICE, right? No, we're talking about establishing law and order in our nation, and I couldn't sit there and listen. Like, well, let me tell you, you know, in my church, and I said, hey, you don't got to come to my church. I'm not here to tell you and pull you into my church. I said, but we teach this way, that God is about law and order, and that literally all this stuff is about light and darkness, good versus evil, and I will not be quiet about it. Jesus did not get crucified for being nice. right? The truth. Standing up for the truth, not hiding from the dark. And acting like we're just nice little Christians. Just be quiet, nice, quiet. Be a nice, quiet little Christian. Wait for the rapture. Let God handle it all. You just be quiet. Quiet now. Don't say anything that could be misunderstood or deemed, this political or no, just quiet. No, be loud about the truth. And we're not being, it's a heart condition. It's about what are you saying? Are you speaking from a place of knowledge and faith, or are you just being mean to people? Obviously, there's a distinction there, right? Hallelujah. The light shines in the dark. I want to just read you these verses, though, okay? Psalm 18:28, and this, I shared, there's actually a sheet of these back there. If you didn't get them, you can take them, or you can listen to this recording later, right? But Psalm 18:28, for you will light my lamp, O Lord, right? For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. This is glorious. This is why Jesus was born, right? And this the image there, in that particular image of Joseph and Mary approaching Bethlehem, literally Christ was literally in her at that point, right? The light was literally about to be born into the world. Glory to God forevermore. And you see the star up there, just glorious things. Amen. Genesis 1:3, God said, now you can turn on Bible Gateway or Blue Letter Bible app and just search light. And this is just a few. How many know we have a God of light? Right? Search brightness. Search light. Search dawn. Right? God said, this is Genesis 1, right? Genesis 1:5, God said, let there be light. And there was light. Somebody say, let there be light. Glory to God forevermore. And John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We read through that whole portion last week. But particularly verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. Amen. But Pastor Steve, it's dark here. We shouldn't offend people by turning on the light. Somebody say, turn on the light. But people like it dark here. No, turn on the light. Turn on the light. Let the light shine. And I love that the darkness did not overcome it. But Pastor Steve, it's so dark here. We should just let it be dark. No. The darkness will not overcome the light. No matter what that medical report says, no matter what the devil's trying to push on you, that kind of thing, somebody say, the darkness will not overcome the light. Hallelujah. Leviticus 24, verse 2. This is the one we did with the anointing service. Command the children of Israel that they may bring to you pure oil pressed from olives for the light to make the lamps burn continually. Somebody say, burn continually for Jesus. You don't just, be a hokey pokey Christian, right? On Monday, my right foot's in. On Tuesday, my right foot's out. On Wednesday, my head is in. On Thursday, my whole self is out. No. Put your whole self in and just shine for Jesus, right? Just stay lit. Somebody say, stay lit. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. That's Christ in you. Amen. Do you ever think Jesus is in a bad mood? Well, I just don't feel like being the light today, right? Tell somebody, lighten up. Lighten up. And that's a lot of being the light, is just lighten up. Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that why this time of the year people like taverns? A dark place. So they can lighten up and drink their troubles away. Somebody say, no. We're filled with the Holy Ghost. The light of the world shines on the inside of me. I don't need that stuff, right? Proverbs 20, verse 27. I got to step it up here. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Isaiah chapter, I'm just going to read a lot of these, right? Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. How many know the people that are living in darkness need to see the light? The Lord really got me yesterday. I was doing laundry at the laundromat, my work, my business clothes I do separately. And there was a guy there that really had the look and sound of the people that hate America. He looked that way. He was talking nasty about the police. It was kind of creepy hearing him talk. And these people, some these people I'm talking about, you know, a lot of, they're talking a lot about Muslims right now trying to take over and all this kind of stuff. And the Lord really checked my heart on this, because those types of people, Muslims who think the whole world should be Muslim or die, right? And some a lot of them are in leadership now. People that hate law and order, I just really, in my heart, before God, I just sometimes think it'd be better if they were not even on the planet. And the Lord told me yesterday, as I was driving away, he said, you know, that's exactly what they think about you. And that's not what I think about them. And, oh, man, you know, the whole message we just did on forgiveness just came right back in my face. And I was like, oh, Jesus, you're going to have to help me with this one, because this is going to have to be supernatural, because I really don't like these people. I really, really, and it's like, how will they know? How will they, and even if they don't care, even if they intentionally hate you, isn't that what he said on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know exactly what they're doing. No, they don't know what they're doing, right? But the light, man, somebody say, lighten up. And I found myself checking my heart. What should I have said something to the, because I was ready to say something, but it wouldn't have been nice. Right? And it was like, no, that's not coming out of my mouth. I just started praying in tongues and praising God out loud where he could hear. He could probably hear me. He was right behind me. But yet, it was from a place of angry. Right? Somebody say, Lord, help us to shine the light accurately. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not like laser vision of Superman. We just dissolve people. Right? He helps us. Somebody say, he helps me to love everyone. Everyone. Because he died for everyone except them. No, including them. Right? Glory to God forevermore. Amen. So Isaiah 60, verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Hallelujah. Now, here's a couple from the Christmas story, right? Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, but particularly verse 9. This is the story of the shepherds. An angel of the Lord suddenly, somebody say suddenly, stood before them. And the glory of the Lord, this is the Amplified version, the glory of the Lord flashed and shone around them. And they were terribly frightened, right? But you know the story. They were bringing them good news of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. So there's plenty of examples in the Bible of light coming to people, human beings, associated with angels, with dreams. You know, there's a scripture that says that God's ministers, his angels, are like flames of fire. I believe that's when Mary saw Gabriel, she knew he was different. He didn't look like another person. It was like, whoa, when Joseph had the dream, he knew that was an angel. Why? Bright! Oh man, did they light up. Hallelujah. When a Christian comes in, they ought to light up the room. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2, the story of the wise men, right? Now, after Jesus was born at Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod, somebody say darkness. In the days of Herod the king, Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his, what? His star, right? In the east, and have come to worship him. A star is a very, very bright thing in the sky, and these wise men knew that was a sign prophetically that the Messiah had been born, and they did what? They followed the light to where it came right above Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, follow the light. Stay in the light. Keep the light in you. Hallelujah. And then say again, lighten up. Isn't Christmas about lightening up? When Shelly and I first, our first couple Christmases, we don't have serious discussions very often. Arguments very often. But one of the ones that really got at me when we first got married was how the Christmas tree should look. Because you see, some of us, we won't say who, some of us thought it should look like the mall. And some of us thought it should look more like homemade. Some of us like the really bright white lights. And some of us prefer the soft colored lights. I just had to let it go and lighten up. And for a while, just wear sunglasses every time I come into the living room. Just kidding. Somebody say Christmas is about lightening up. And then just live that way. Doesn't mean we're not facing the facts and things that are happening around us, but we do it in an attitude of faith and joy. Amen? Amen. And just loving people. Hallelujah. John 8, verse 12 says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Somebody say, I have Jesus, so I have the light of life. Glory to God forevermore. John 10:22 of the New Living Translation says this. It was now winter. This is what we just talked about. And Jesus was in Jerusalem at the time of Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, which is also called the Festival of Lights. Somebody say, light it up. I would challenge us all, do a little research on Hanukkah this week. It doesn't take long. But always make sure you find Jesus in it. He is the light. He is who we're dedicating ourselves to. Glory to God forevermore. In all of these things that we study, where we're using commentaries, I use the Shamash. Yesterday, I found something I didn't agree with in the Shamash, which is Jewish commentary, which is wonderful. All kinds of nuggets. But a lot of the, in Judaism, it's one, somebody say it's one God. So the concept of the Trinity doesn't exist. So there'll be some things that you'll seem like, nah, that don't really sound right. Well, skip it. It's, somebody say it's commentary. But boy, are there nuggets. In places like books that you read and study, the Shamash, these kind of things. But you have to really come back to the Word of God. And be like, you know what? Just because somebody said that doesn't mean I just need to adopt it and believe it and all of that. Hallelujah. I mean, there's things I used to teach and believe that I realized, oh, that's wrong, man. So what do? You stop. Hallelujah. Glory to God, right? John 10:22. So the Feast of Dedication. Somebody say, Father, I dedicate myself to Jesus, to the light of the world. Hallelujah. And I pray for the nation of Israel, for the peace of God in Jerusalem, for Benjamin Netanyahu, for the Israeli Defense Forces, for Jews around the world, that they would come to their light. Hallelujah. There's a great Jewish rabbi that I met years ago, Joseph Shulam, and he came to our church at New Beginnings several times. Got to meet him and go to breakfast once or twice, and I found out that he, during all the shutdowns, I refuse to call it the pandemic, I call it the shutdowns. Yes, there was a pandemic, but it was government overreach in a lot of ways. Hallelujah. The darkness was promoted during that time, right? But during that time, Rabbi Shulam did 52 weeks of Torah teaching every Sabbath. And they're just, you know, 15, 20, 30 minute segments that are still on YouTube. You can just look up what I do is, and I'm talking about connecting with God through the nation of Israel, all that. You can just search out every Friday night or Saturday. I've done it for now 3 years, 2.5 years, I think. Every one. I'll just search out on my phone, weekly Torah portion. And it pulls it up, and there's like a name for it. And then I copy that name, and I type in Joseph Shulam, and I put that name, and it'll pull a video up for that week's. And he just gives you some commentary on it. And I love it. Again, I don't agree with everything I hear, but it's amazing the things that you pick up in terms of just the roots that we have with Israel. How many know our faith does not come from the Vatican? From Rome. Our faith roots from heaven, of course, but Jerusalem, Israel. Hallelujah. There's a huge city coming out of heaven in just a few years, and it's not going to land in Vegas or New York or Rome. It's going to land in Jerusalem. Somebody say, do not be an anti-Semitic Christian. Hallelujah. Shalom, Israel. 2 Peter 1:19 says this, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Jesus is called the morning star. If you've ever been up real early in the morning and on a clear day, you'll see a star that's out there on the horizon before the sun rises. Jesus is the morning star, right? When you see that light, you know it's about to get really bright, right? Even in Oregon, it takes a little longer, you know, this time of year, because there's 17 layers of clouds, and but it's still out. The sun is still out there. Somebody say, the sun is rising. The light is dawning. Hallelujah. In Revelation 22, verse 16, we started in Genesis, and we're going to Revelation, right? It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Glory to God. The bright and the morning star. And Proverbs 4:18 says this, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter until the perfect day. So somebody just say, I'm getting brighter. You think I'm bright now? Just wait till tomorrow. Well, just be a quiet, nice little Christian and go hide in your closet and keep your faith in your house. Man, there's some people, Christians I'm talking about, that are so worried about perception and being politically correct that they won't even talk to their own family at dinner about the truth. The truth in politics, the truth, good versus evil. They refuse to do it because it's this whole fear thing. This whole darkness thing. This whole, well, that's not, I just want to keep my faith separate from life. You can't keep your faith separate from who you are. Somebody say, it's who I am. Jesus didn't say, I have the light. He said, I am the light. Had a lady once in a job I was doing, and I was just sharing some things in the break room. I'm just talking. I'm not intentionally being offensive to anyone. Said something that she thought was faith-related, and she said, save it for church. And my answer was, I am the church. Right? You think church is a building? No, a church is a people. Church is a candle. Church is a lamp. And we stay lit for Jesus. Right? Now, I want to share with you a couple more things as we close and get ready for this party, but the Lord added this on this morning. I love the add-ons that the Holy Ghost brings. And this is not in your notes. You'll just have to listen to this. But 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says this. Then this is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you. This is the message that we have heard from him, of him, and declare unto you that God is light. Somebody say, God is light. We're talking about the Father. We're talking about the Son. And we're talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has been reminding me this week that he's here with me. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? This then is the message with which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Somebody say, in him there is no darkness at all. Yeah, but Pastor Steve, God might put something dark on you to teach you something, to keep you humble, to teach you about his great sovereignty and just to teach you to trust him. No, somebody say, in him, he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. He cannot give me something he doesn't have, or he isn't. So Christians need to be real good at knowing the difference between light and dark. Because there is a devil. And there's a scripture that says this. Did I put that in there? I didn't even put it in. I didn't even want to give him credit. There's a scripture, as you know, as seasoned Christians, you know, there's a scripture that says the devil himself puts on a disguise as an angel of light. And I looked up the word this morning. I looked up the word light in 1 John that I just read to you, and I looked up the word light in that scripture, and I expected to find a different definition. And it was exactly the same definition. He puts on a disguise. And he is deceptive. And there's a lot of deceptive words going on out there in the world right now. Using scripture. Using the church. Using God. But it is deceptive and it is rooted in darkness. It might look like God. It might sound sweet and sugar-coated and even logical. But it is straight out of the pit of hell. And the only way we can know the difference is to know the true light. And as his sheep, we have to be really good. And I believe that anointing service today and just being in his word is going to help us with our hearing. Because there's so many Christians, like I was sharing with you, my brothers that I met the other day, that are just, maybe our meeting helped them fine-tune a little bit. Right? Maybe I'm not hearing things exactly right. Maybe I'm supposed to be more vocal about my faith. Maybe law and order is a good thing. Maybe all the people out there with ICE and law enforcement aren't just arresting Hispanic people and their families. Maybe they're really blowing up boats, you know, out in Honduras that are actually delivering drugs and wanting to kill Americans. And not just fishing boats. We have to be really good at being able to decipher what's true, what's of God, and what's of the angel of light that sounds and looks a lot like him. Why? Because he is a fallen archangel. And he is very deceptive. And he still knows how to put it on. And he'll look just like a congressperson. He'll sound just like a senator. He'll sound just like a mayor. He'll sound just like a doctor. He'll sound just like a good friend. He'll sound just like a family member that genuinely is concerned about you. But it is straight up out of the pit of hell, man. And we just got to be able to smile and just say, I love you, but no. No, I'm staying with the truth. Somebody say, I'm staying with him. Right? And this is how it's defined as we prepare to pray here and have a wonderful time together, right? But when it says God is light, it's defined as the light. I love these terms in terms of God, right? This is why the devil even took the rainbow. It's a great example. It's a beacon of light. If you search the rainbow in the Bible, you know where the rainbow is brought up? Encircling the throne of God. That is a direct example of the fake anointing the devil has and wants to promote out there. That rainbow is all about love. oh, homosexuality and transgenderism and Muslimism is just all about love. No, it's not. It's straight out of the pit of hell, man. And we reject it. The real rainbow is about the flood and the judgment of God on sin and his mercy that is offered and extended, not forced. That's the difference between Jesus. That's the difference, can I just say it this way, between Jacob and Esau. Between Israel and between Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael will force it on you. Isaac offers it to you. The devil forces his way on you. You submit or you die. That's why the Democratic Party and the Muslim faith go great together. Because total domination, total control, you do what we say or we'll remove you. And, you know, everything from pedophilia to cruelty to women fits perfectly together. Same devil. Jesus comes in. You look in Revelation. This is the Holy Ghost, all right? It all is. But he says in Revelation, if you do not, this is during the 1,000-year reign, okay? When we're reigning and ruling with Christ. And how many know if we're reigning and ruling with Jesus for 1,000 years, there must be something to reign and rule over. And he says in there, those nations who refuse to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Who does that sound like to you? Based on today. Nations who hate the Feast of Tabernacles. Who attacked on October 7th on the Feast of Tabernacles. Muslims. Right? Those nations who refuse to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Notice Jesus does not say we're going to come and kill you. No, he says no rain. There'll be no rain in your nation. Peace. He is a God of peace. Muslims will say, if you don't become Muslim, we're going to kill you. That's the difference between Isaac and Ishmael, Jacob and Esau, Jesus and the devil, truth and lie. Jesus, the light is offered to you. I want to create a billboard someday, and we did some newspaper ads during 2020. That were beautiful. God gave us words. Another one would be great on like Easter weekend. The cross, Jesus Christ, offered for you and offered to you. In other words, he's not forcing himself on you. You have a choice. You can be in the light or you can be in the darkness. And how many know fake light is darkness? It's the worst kind of darkness. Hallelujah. Heavenly light that is surrounds angels when they... Here we go. The word light means a heavenly light such as surrounds angels when they appear on earth. It means fire because it is a light that sheds light. It means of truth and its knowledge. Somebody say of truth. I'm going to say that two more times so it makes it three. Of truth. Of truth. Right? Together with the spiritual purity. Somebody say spiritual purity associated with it. That which is exposed to the view of all openly and publicly. How many know Christians ought to be exposed to the view of all publicly? All the people that were learning how to use their phones to mess with the ICE enforcement agents on Flashpoint. The guy said, you should all use your phones right now to share Flashpoint. Somebody say openly, publicly, shine the light, right? And it means the power of understanding especially moral and spiritual truth. How many know that's true light? Purity, moral and spiritual truth. That's how you know the difference. Hallelujah, right? And finally, Exodus 13:21. Do you need me to say amen, Lacey? Is mom okay? Okay. Food's still coming, right? So... Oh, it's here. Okay, let me hurry up then. I'll do like, what's the quarterback of the Rams? Matt Stafford. He'll get up there. Turbo, turbo! Hut! Acts 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them on the way. And by night, somebody say by night, a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Acts 2, verse 3, here we go. And there appeared to them, upper room, right? Divided tongues as of fire. And sat upon each of them. Somebody say, pray in the Holy Ghost, man. Loose the fire. Throw some gas on the fire. Glory to God forevermore. And then finally, Romans 13, 12, we'll sum up. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Somebody say glory to God. Let's all stand up and we'll pray and bless the food and just rejoice. Hallelujah. So Father, in Jesus' name, we commit ourselves to being children of the light. It's Christ in us, the light of God that is in us. Use us, Lord. Somebody say, use me, Lord, to shine bright for you in a dark world. That the light would be warm and inviting, not repulsive and offensive. That would draw many, 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 many to you. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. Commit our lives to you. We dedicate our lives to you. To being in the light and to having the light shining bright on the inside of us. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. All the praise and all the glory. Somebody say, shine in me, Jesus. Shine to me and shine through me. In Jesus' name, amen.